I have a special guest on today. I have Stephanie Valenti, who is a four-time executive, has taught over 3,000 other executives on forecasting, planning, and really strategic thinking. And so one of the things I have on her for part one of today's episode is really how to turn chaos into something scalable. So applicable with everything that's happening in AI right now. So I wanted to share her with you because she does an amazing job in terms of talking about this. So you're not going to want to miss this episode. Look forward to having you in there and checking it out.
How do you grow like a VC-backed company without taking on investors? Do you want to create a lifestyle business, a performance business, or an empire? How do you scale to an exit without losing your freedom? Those are the questions, and this show is the answer.
Welcome, everybody, to the Scale Up Show. This is your host, Ryan Staley, and I have a very special guest with me today. I have Stephanie Valenti. Stephanie has done some amazing things. She's a four-time executive operator on the go-to-market side. She's actually done annual forecasting and planning teaching for over 3,000 executives for some of the biggest companies in the world. I've known her through some circles that I am in. I've been blown away with what she's talking about and what she's doing. Stephanie, welcome. Happy to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Ryan. What an intro.
Yeah, you just got to record that and reuse it. You know, it was funny because like, as I was talking to you on the pre-show, you were very, very modest with some of the things you're doing. And I think I've always had a positive impression of you. It's been awesome getting to know you over the last month or so in real life, as opposed to like just over Slack and LinkedIn or whatnot. So, but real, real excited about, you know, some of the things that we talked about that you're going to share today. But before we get too deep into that, can you give everyone just a little bit of a backstory on you and your evolution? Because you have like one of the most diverse and unique backgrounds of anyone that I've ever had on the show. So we'd love for you to just walk through that.
Yeah, Ryan, absolutely. So that we don't take all of the time, I'm going to give a really high summary. You know, I was one of those people that got out of school, had kiddos early, so didn't have a typical path and didn't know what I wanted to do when I grew up. And so I started in restaurant while I was in school and was like, I could do this, and did restaurant management and then worked at corporate and restaurant. And one day someone pulled me aside and they're like, you have way too much drive. You need to go check out sales. And that was really the end of it, right? So I started my career in Fortune 100, had an amazing background, had the opportunity to lead business development, account management groups, mid-market, small business, and even large enterprise groups. So phenomenal experience there. Was then given the opportunity to be an executive for the first time after about 8 years with that Fortune 100, and grew an organization from, you know, 40 inbound people in a DTC motion to over 200 sellers in an omni-channel environment in a B2B motion. So that was incredible. I could do four whole podcast shows talking about my experience and the mistakes and the successes that I had there. And then from there, it was the middle of COVID. And I said, you know what? One of the things I think is a weakness for me is really understanding greater business. I grew up in Fortune 100. I know how to run a sales org, but I need to understand ops and finance. And so took off my revenue hat and became a COO for a manufacturing company, which was wild. I was actually on the manufacturing floor leading labor. It was a fabulous experience leading HR in the middle of COVID. So learned so much about how to use a little brake pedal when I've always been all gas, right? I'll go. So wonderful experience, but ultimately wanted to get back into revenue. I missed it and took an opportunity with a services company. So I've got DTC products, went over to manufacturing and then to services in the HubSpot ecospace as a CRO running total go-to-market. And so just really always learning, taking on new opportunities, leading different revenue models, etc. And so always looking for that next challenge. Did a short stint with a healthcare company, helping them stabilize some of their operations before they're set forth with growth. And so that's kind of the story. It's all over the place. It's a lot of raising my hand and taking a lot of risks and jumping into new opportunities in a very opportunistic manner.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's funny because like, as you're talking through that, it reminds me. So there's a client that I became friends with, and he was a Fortune 1000 CEO. And basically, it was funny because like when he told me the story, I'm like, how did you start becoming a CEO? He's like, well, I only had, you know, revenue experience. And so they they suggested I get ops experience in this side of the house. So he had to put in his time, get that executive experience as well on the other sides. And then he got basically with a company that was PE backed, became the CEO. Then they got acquired from a Fortune 100, maybe Fortune 500. And then they actually promoted him to CEO eventually. So maybe that's what's next for you, if that's what you want. I don't know. Maybe not.
Maybe. I mean, I've been asked that before, right? Is that the next step? And I think someday I'm still out there, you know, learning and growing and working alongside such fabulous leaders everywhere I go, right? I always learn a little bit of something, even when it's crazy, I learn a little something. And so, so maybe though, Ryan, I like that.
Yeah. I mean, it was something that, like, as you're talking, I'm like, this sounds a lot of what I heard before. So, but like, I heard you say something like, you know, turning something scalable from something that's crazy or, you know, chaotic, if you will. So let's talk about that. Cause I think, you know, right now we are in a market with technology and how fast things are evolving that effectively is the fastest rate of innovation we have ever experienced in mankind. And it's poised to keep doubling every 9 months. I think Elon Musk just talked about that. And so, like, what's your take on turning chaos into something scalable? Because I think anybody who's anyone would want to understand that a little bit deeper. And I think your depth of experience across different industries could be great for that.
Yeah. It's definitely something I've seen as a trend when I come into an organization. Usually I'm asking questions in the interview process about how did you get where you were? Like, how did you make this growth happen? And maybe there was one fancy motion that worked at the time, or something was really hot in the moment, but there's never I built this structure on purpose and I created these processes thinking 5 years ahead of to where I want to be. It doesn't work like that, right? It's in startup, it's in the moment and it's let's just throw spaghetti at the wall and see what sticks and then run with it. And so there has to be a point though, where you're doing all those things, you get to a growth and it's like, oh, how do we take it to the next spot? And so what has worked for me is really coming in, taking a step back and understanding structure. I love to see if we want to be, let's say you want to be 100 million in the next 4 years, what would a structure look like at 100 million? Mm-hmm. What roles would we need? What types of people would we need in those roles? What are the job descriptions that would come with roles like that? And then working your way backwards to see, do we have the structure in place to achieve our goals in the future? After really evaluating structure, and I'm not just talking about like structure in an organizational sense, it's structure to everything. It could be structure to the product, right? But it's just those bones of the house. Are the bones of the house right to be able to continue to move forward with the goals? Then moving into what processes do we need in place? What processes do we need documented? What systems, that's a part of process, need to be in place for us to get the data to track what we need in the future? And then, only then, do you really look at the people that you're playing with today. What people do we have today? Do those people, based on their strengths and talents, fit into that box when we're 4 years from now at the 100 million? Where do we have gaps? Can we develop some of those talents? Or are we going to have big gaps today? A really common one on the people side is we've hired a superstar VP of sales that doesn't have leadership experience. They have the title and they carry a huge book of business for us right now, but they're our VP of sales. My guess is they're not going to be your VP of sales if you don't do something drastic right now, or if they even want to be that, right, in the future as you start to scale. So how do you prepare for that today so that all of a sudden you're not like the guy you love and help build the business, you're having to cut him loose in a year and a half, 2 years, because you didn't think about that. So that's what I like to use, that three-step process. There's so much more, obviously, that goes into each of those steps and even pre-work on creating what those goals are and really envisioning the future of the company. But that's generally the process that I take.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So you mentioned pre-work. So let's keep going with this. Let's keep rolling. So is that more the mission, vision, value stuff that you're working on when it comes to that?
Totally. Yeah. Mission values. You want to make sure that you understand who you want to be known for. You want to decide what the focus point for this year is. Maybe even try to look into the crystal ball and think through to the future. I like to use Patrick Lencioni's methodologies when it comes to doing annual planning, and more from the book of The Advantage. If you haven't read it, I love that book. So I recommend it, Ryan. It's like five of Lencioni's books kind of consolidated and summarized by him in one that all is about healthy organizational build. And who do you want to be as a company? What do you be remembered for? Who do you want to be when you grow up? Some of the ideal team players in there, some of that stuff. So, but yeah, it's a lot of that planning and coming up with that BHAG and then coming together as a team and deciding how the heck you're going to do it.
Yeah, I think that's good. A lot of the folks that I work with, that's something that they struggle with as well. Just truly like understanding how to make that leap from a founder, right? That's at 10 million in revenue to kind of that next stage and visualize and plan that, you know? So I see that all the time. Is that pretty common at that stage of what you're seeing, or where's like the key threshold where this is really a sharp point to kind of lean into from your perspective?
Yeah, it's very common. I do spend time with Hatchet Ventures as well, as, you know, we've got founders with no sales, right, that have an idea that are coming in to watching them grow with some revenue and starting to see those points. And sometimes I'll share like, hey, maybe not yet, but these are the things you need to start thinking about. And they look at me like I'm crazy, right? They're like, we can't slow down. Like, we're just running right now. We're going to do everything we can to do every little thing that get every dollar or every sale that we can. I don't have time to slow down. And I said, okay, but when there's going to be a time, right, when you're going to hit that thing where you're like, oh, I hit my first million and I don't know how to get to million number two, or I'm selling 100 subscriptions a success, but now I don't know how to get to 200. And they always go to, I'm going to go hire some fancy salesperson, but who's managing that salesperson? What collateral is that salesperson going with? Have you created solution statements? Have you done a competitive review? What is marketing doing? Right? They don't necessarily try to slow down and say, what do we really want? Do we want another 200 subscriptions? Okay. What is it going to take to get there? And let's go to that structure piece that I talked about and say, what roles do we actually need to support it? And really brainstorm it out. It's almost the saying of slow down to speed up, right? Mm-hmm. Just a little.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, that's very true. And I think, you know what, like emotionally, I think this is where it comes from. If I had to say this is where it comes from. They're trying to find product market fit for a while, right? And they're doing everything they can, working their brains out. And then they finally got the momentum and they're like, I don't want this to stop. Because like they knew what happened before of the shit sandwich phase of what they were doing. And I think I don't know. Do you agree with me on that? Because like that's where I see it.
100,000%. And oftentimes they've got family invested into their business or it's their own funds. And when money's involved, it's super emotional. So of course they want to keep it moving forward. I, in my experience, what I've seen though, is they're moving so fast. They don't even slow down to celebrate some of the successes and ask why, right? Not just like, hey, we did it, but it's like, ooh, what actually worked? Mm-hmm. Like in all those crazy things that we did, let's take a second and really look and see, this is the part that worked. Here's why. How do we double down on that? Because they're just so excited something worked, right? And they don't.
Go ahead.
No,
finish your thought.
I was going to say, and the problem is then they don't have the data to actually dive in to understand what worked because they didn't slow down to put some of those processes in place. And so it's a balance, right? But I always encourage like just a minute, like just 1 minute to take the time. You were gonna counter me on something.
No, it wasn't a counter. It was an add-on, right? Like not even add-on. It was an add-on question because I love the way you were going. So. So if that happens, right, then what about the reverse? What if, you know, basically things you have all of a sudden a lot of things start working well. It's not just one thing, but a lot of things start working well. It's like, how do you prioritize and prune so that, you know, you don't lose your brain as a CEO, as a founder, as a leader, right? What's your thoughts on that?
hard, right? So if you're tracking, so if you're doing weekly leadership meetings with your founding team and you're sitting in there and maybe one of the topics on your agenda is what is working really well in the org right now. And you track those things, right? So that you don't get shiny object syndrome. Just because something's worked once, that doesn't mean it's working for sustainability of growth within the organization. So if something comes up 4, 5 times, 6 times over and over again, maybe then it's time to put it in this little box that lives on the whiteboard or in your document, right? To say, okay, this is something shiny. And then constantly visit those in your meetings so that you can then say, these are things that are worth investing in. And investing could mean budget, tools, right? But it also could mean structure, mm-hmm. humans, right? To go ahead and propel that forward because you're really sure that it's working. Yeah. It's not a one-time it worked once. It's a continual, it's working.
Love that. Well, okay. So we're going to do this as a two-part series. And I think this is a natural, great place to stop. I know in the next episode, we're going to talk more about how do you retain perceived value with things moving so fast, right? So we're going to wrap for today. And this next episode will be on soon. Make sure you tune in for it. Stephanie, thanks for being on for part one. And we will see you on part two.
Thank you. Thanks, Ryan.
Thank you for checking out The Scale Up Show. My mission in life is to help founders and revenue leaders avoid all the pain and suffering in revenue growth so they can flip it and create a life of their own design. So if you enjoyed this show, please like, review, share it on social, and more importantly, just share it with a friend. Share it with someone that you think could learn and benefit from what you heard on today. But the more we get the message out, the more people we could help, the bigger the impact we make, and the bigger the community gets, which helps everybody. So once again, thank you for being a loyal listener. I appreciate you and look forward to seeing you on the next episode.